We turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 27. And we shall read again verse 4. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Amen. The theme of this psalm is similar to the one we were singing, Psalm 84. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts to me, the tabernacles of thy grace. How pleasant, Lord, they be. Now the psalmist has in view the place of worship, where he meets with God. And then he looks beyond this life to the life to come. And there is a continuance of that for God's people, worshipping the Lord in his house, meeting with God and enjoying God's favor. One thing have I desired of the Lord. What is the one thing? It is God himself, God's salvation, his mercy, his grace, the love that he bears to his own people. If we know something of it, we desire more of it. To live close to God, to walk in holy fellowship with him, to be praising his name, and to be enjoying that peace in our soul and that hope of heaven. Of these things the Word of God speaks. And many in the Word of God speak of these things, and none more so than the psalmist. One who knew the Lord, followed God, and pursued holiness of heart and life. That must begin in this world. We cannot expect to enjoy fellowship with God in the world to come unless we know something of it here. The psalmist's circumstance was that he was away from Jerusalem and separated from the place of worship. Yet we see very clearly where his heart was. It was back in Jerusalem, back in the house of God. And that surely was a token to him, and no doubt to you also, of your interest in Christ and his salvation. That when for a time you may be separated from the place of worship, from the public means of grace, yet your heart seeks after God and his favor. There is a teaching that we get from the Word of God that when we may be prevented by our circumstances from performing a particular duty, God may accept the will for the deed. So if you cannot get to God's house, if some sickness or frailty prevents you from being there, but your heart is there, your desire is there, God takes note of that. And God marks that one as one of his own, in whom his grace is surely working when that desire is present. It is not a desire that is found in the unconverted, those who are of the world. Well, let us consider from this text David's one desire. And to begin with, David's desire. One thing, he says, have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And when you read of David's desire there, you understand that this was not just an occasional feeling he had, or even longing. It was something always present, something that was very much in his soul. And with the desire, there was the seeking of the fulfillment of that desire. Is that how it is with us? We trust it is. You have a desire within, you recognize it to be a desire for God, your covenant God, and where that desire is, there is always the attempt to satisfy that desire. How can we do that? In Scripture, we have this. It is good for me that I draw near to God. And it's good for you and it's good for me. To draw near to God is to call upon his name in prayer. It is to express to him our love for him and to request from him that he would favor us with his presence and with his blessing. Sometimes people express a good desire. You might know someone, perhaps you've been encouraging that person to come to church, to hear the gospel, and they say something like, well, yes, I know I should be there, and perhaps one day soon I will come. There's a sort of desire there, and yet they never act upon it. It's not a true spiritual longing. And we must pray that it would be. Because when that is present, then it shall be fulfilled. And that person will certainly be found at the place of worship. Wishes are good, but they're not everything. And if they're not carried out, then in the end, they are nothing. Someone spoke of desires in this way. They are like seeds. Seeds must be sown if they are to bear fruit. And desires are seeds which must be sown in good soil, the good soil of activity, seeking God, if those desires are to yield a harvest. Well, whenever God gives us a desire for himself, it should be there continually, but sometimes it's very much present with us. A desire to go on our knees and pray. Maybe out with the time of public worship and our regular private worship or family worship. Suddenly there's a desire there. There's a burden there. I need to pray. And you may not even know at that point exactly what you are to be praying for. But if you go aside, go upon your knees and begin to pray, then perhaps the Lord will be showing you why you should be praying. That matter for which you should be praying will be borne in upon your mind, and you will then express it to God in petition. Some family member, someone close to you, some situation, prayer is required, and prayer is desired. That is how it is with the spiritual man or woman. Prayer is so natural to us. It is so much a part of the life that we live. God has put His Holy Spirit within us. And from the same Spirit, we have the prompting and the leading and the enabling to draw near to God and to seek His face and His favor in prayer. Well, David was pleading with the Lord. He was pleading that God would fulfill his desire. If your desire is a good one, a godly one, well, then you may make it known to the Lord. Always subject to his perfect mind and will. But if it is a desire for God himself, a desire for growth in grace, more likeness to Christ, more of a heavenly mind, and less of a love for this world, well, we know that that is acceptable to the Lord. And we may bring that to God, and we may press that again and again. And sadly, all too often, the requests we are making are more for things, necessities, our daily bread, that is good and proper. But let us put first the interests of our own souls and the needs of God's kingdom. When we look all around us, what do we see? We see a spiritual dearth. A famine. We see a dying world. And we see humanity lost, wandering, turning to this thing and that thing in a vain attempt to find some sort of satisfaction in life. These are broken systems which can hold no water. Because they're always looking to the world. Or religions that are of the world and not from God. Man can never be truly satisfied apart from God. The God who has made himself known in the scriptures. Let us then have this one thing. That we desire of the Lord. And seek after. David will explain what that desire is. We think we know it. If we are the Lord's, we surely do this one thing that we greatly desire above all other things. That brings us then to the dwelling David delighted in. What was this desire of the Lord? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To abide there. To always be there. As we said at the outset, David was at a distance from Jerusalem at the time when he wrote the words of this psalm, but his heart was in Jerusalem and in God's house. He had his own home there, king's palace, No doubt that was dear to him. We also have our earthly home, which we love. But our souls have a home too. That's how we should be thinking about things. Where is my soul's home? Well, if we were still in our sin, we can look back and think of such a time. We know that the home, if we can call it that, for our soul then, was very much this world. And all its sights and entertainments, recreations and pastimes, associations, activities, all these things took up our time and our interest, and yes, even our money. But that was folly. We know it now. We know the value of our soul, and we know the need of our soul. And the need of our soul is Jesus Christ, to have him. Christ as Lord and Savior. Christ as the one who purchased forgiveness for us. Reconciliation to God. Christ, who as our prophet, priest and king, has indeed satisfied God's just demands with respect to us by suffering for our sins and putting them all away. And Christ brings us to God. He did that at the beginning. But he brings us to God again and again. For when we go to God in prayer and in worship, when we call upon his name, our plea is Christ. Christ crucified and risen. Christ in my place. Christ for me, my substitute and my surety. And our soul goes to God through Christ and goes to where our desire is, where our home is, the house of the Lord. And we view it now in terms of the place of worship on earth. That is where we may especially meet with our God. David longed for the tabernacle. After that there was the temple. Such a fine building. But what made it fine, indeed beautiful, for the spiritual in Israel, was not so much its structure, but the one whose house it was. David longed to be there, in the courts of God's own house. He was prepared to lose other things, to lose anything but this. To be with God, worshipping him, to be with God's people, to have fellowship with the Lord and with those who, like himself, loved the Lord. Access to God's house. We enjoy it, and we should make the very best use of it while we have it. As we said, it is possible for us to be detained, kept from God's house, through various reasons that have to do with God's providence in our lives. And ultimately, it may well be that the time comes when we can no longer manage to be in the place of worship. Now God will make up for that. We know that from those saints who cannot be present in church. The Lord will dwell with them in their own home and make it something of a Bethel, a house of God. But we believe those same believers, their heart is still in God's house. And when the time of worship comes on the Sabbath and on the weekday, no doubt their thoughts turn to the place of worship they once frequented themselves. And they are gathering themselves in a spiritual sense with the Lord's people when they are met in Christ's name for the worship of God. When we come to public worship, we might view it as entering our Father's house. God will meet with his own wherever they are gathered on the face of this earth in the name of the Redeemer. And even this very place where we gather, well, God, we believe, is amongst us when we are met in that name which God himself delights in, the name of his beloved Son, the one in whom he is well pleased, eternally well pleased, because of what Christ accomplished in the will of God for the purchase and gathering of the church. And at the end of time, when all places of worship on earth are closed, there will be this great gathering in glory. All who met in their different congregations while on earth, separate from each other, shall be gathered as one. And in a way that's beyond our comprehension, all around the throne, having the throne in sight, in view, and all beholding the Lamb, Jesus Christ. That's the house of God we especially long for. And that brings us to our third and final point. The sight David rejoiced in. His desire, that which he sought after, to dwell in God's house all the days of his life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. We speak then of the sight that David had and rejoiced in, and of course it was a spiritual one. This is perhaps something the world finds difficult to understand when it comes to Christians. The world may be attracted to a fine building, and you can go into some places of worship and there's much to feast the eye. But we go into our place of worship to feast upon God. We have a hunger for God, a thirst for the Lord. And we see God. We see him by faith in the reading of the word, the preaching of the word, and yes, in the singing of the psalms. We see God. We behold His beauty. In the place of worship, David was accustomed to seeing that which was pleasant and delightful to his holy soul. Beholding God and enjoying the grace of God. How does God reveal his grace to his people? Well, he makes it known in the Word, in the Gospel of Christ. But he actually reveals it, bestows it, through the ordinances, the means he has appointed. And we are thankful for them. Preaching of God's Word, and prayer, and the sacraments. By these means, exercising faith, we have fellowship with God. He affords us that fellowship with himself. It's to know God. And it is through the knowing we have of God revealed in the Word and the work of his grace in our soul that there is that growth in likeness, spiritual likeness to the Lord. Now, when you think of the tabernacle and the temple, the great work there was the work performed by the priests. And it was the work of sacrifice. One sacrifice after another. And animals of various kinds. And they were slain. And their blood was shed. And there were burnt offerings and sacrifices of various kinds. And you think of those who went there to worship, to bring an offering, and beholding the work of the priests, the offering up of the sacrifices, with a spiritual mind, instructed by the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord, these worshippers could see in the actions of the priests and the offering of the sacrifices, beyond that Old Testament ritual, to what would happen in the fullness of the time. When God would send his Son, when the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, would offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people, without spot or blemish, a perfect life given up to God. David from afar, as with others, saw the Redeemer. And his trust was in Christ as his mediator. And in that way, Old Testament believers were enjoying in worship this beautiful sight. The Lord himself, as a reconciled God, reconciled because of the cross of Christ, the shedding of the Saviour's blood, beholding God in the beauty of his holiness, and having a desire in their own hearts for that holiness. We need to seek God and to behold him, to know him as he is, according to his revelation in the Word. The more we meet with him, the more we shall be transformed, as we need to be, into the likeness of our God, in terms of Jesus Christ. That is the goal. Change from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord, as we behold Christ Jesus, the God-man, as he is to be seen in the Scriptures. And this is what David longed for, what he sought after, what he enjoyed in the kindness of God, in the place of worship, and then beyond that, in the eternal world. In the Father's house above, in the company of the redeemed, who are already there. This vision of the Lord's beauty, which is to be seen especially in that perfect state. Then, as believers, all our clouds have gone that hide the Lord from our view at times. And there in the heavenly temple, well, Christ is the temple. And he's the Son of Righteousness. There he's risen, as it were, in the full glory that is his, and shines upon his people in the fullness of the favor that he has toward them. The Lord will give grace and glory. To see the King in his beauty, in the land that is very far off, and yet in another sense is very near, glimpsed when we are in God's house in this world, and entered into when pleases him to take us as his people, home to our eternal dwelling and eternal praise in God's nearer presence. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we bless thee that thou art our light and our salvation, and that thou art the one whom we desire, even thy presence, thy favor, for ourselves and for many others, that they would have the same longing in their hearts. In thy favor is life. Grant us then that life more and more, and may it be evident in our living from day to day that we have been with the Lord, we have been in the place of praise and prayer. Watch over us then, and enable us to keep our hearts for thyself, and forgive our sin. In Jesus' name, Amen.